Blog Talk Radio.
When I've done the best I can, I said, oh, Lord. Now, when I've done the best I can, I said, oh, Lord. Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart just to be accepted, Lord, in thy sight, said, oh, Lord. Now, when I pray the best I can, I said, oh, Lord. And when I prayed the best I can, I said, oh, Lord. Well, let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let it be accepted, Lord, in thy sight, said, oh, Lord. Well, good evening and welcome to the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. Now, I certainly welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because it's good to be in his presence one more time. And so this evening we have an interesting show for you. On Mondays we usually do missions or testimonies, and tonight would have been testimony time. And we had a fine gentleman who was going to come on and give this fantastic testimony, but we preempted that tonight because of some developments. And the developments are actually related to last week's show. On last week, I personally came on and talked about some experiences in a mission and some mission trips in a school in a church in an area called Lemaire Frappe, Haiti. And last week I purposely gave all of the positives that had really influenced me, or at least some of the positives and things I had experienced, and the development of the mission there and how I had become a part. It was really my testimony about an experience on the mission trip in Haiti. And we talked about on the 7th of November having two of our locals that hid the 10,000 Reasons Haiti out of the Northern Neck to come on and talk about the mission. But since then, actually, I learned of this on yesterday evening. On the last evening, I was advised that some really bad things have taken place in Lemaire Frappe, the region, the area where our mission is located. So Hope United Haiti and 10,000 Reasons Haiti have partnered, as we said last week, for a mission and have built a church and a school, thriving church and school there. And last week we talked about the heights that they've been soaring to. They've actually added a ninth grade in the school, and the church has a senior pastor and has assistants and so forth. But this week the story is not quite as good. School is not back in session, and there were some developments on yesterday. So we're going to talk about that during the course of the evening, and we're actually going to expand into, and we partner, of course, we partner with the Fivefold Ministry and Apostle Margie Mercer. She was honored. She received an award from the state on last Saturday, and was awarded on the a dinner given by the Dr. Pat Show, his WBOC Baltimore Station show. And so we're proud of her, and certainly we congratulate her on the high honors that she did receive. Apostle Mercer has stepped aside on this evening to allow this program, a special broadcast, to go until 8 p.m. And so we have a few things we're going to do. Have been all day trying to put together something and that's tangible and something that will be beneficial. I don't like to just talk about a problem. I want to address the problem. We have some things that work that God has gifted us with, and we hope to use them on this evening. As always, you can reach us. Our contact information is email goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. It's all one word spelled out. GOTEACHANDBAPTIZE, go teach and baptize, @gmail.com. And the telephone is 804-313-7853. Again, you can call or text us at 804-313-7853. We did receive some text over our weekend show, which was yesterday morning, and we received a few from last week. We received some comments and a couple questions. You know, on Friday night, we attempt to answer some questions, even though last Friday was actually pre-recorded. This Friday will be live, and we intend to answer some of your questions with the Jeremiah Speaks Show. On Tuesday nights, we have preaching, Wednesday nights, Bible study, Thursday nights, the traditional Sunday school, and then Friday nights is kind of a catch-all. So please, we encourage you to tune in, and have some fun on some evenings, and serious nature much of the time as well. We're going to address life's problems. Jeremiah Speaks Ministry is 2 years old, dedicated to addressing idolatry within the local church, as well as pointing to the authority of the local church. Part of what we're going to do on this evening is talk about the authority of the church in resolving issues. And so we go back to the Mayor Frappe and we'll go back to what we talked about last week as we were closing out. I was talking about my experience in that 3 years that I've been involved with the 10,000 Reasons Haiti. So there are actually two groups. There's the 10,000 Reasons Haiti that comes out of the northern neck of Virginia, and then around Charlotte, North Carolina, there's Hope United Haiti that also, and we work together. Work together in tandem to address a school and a church in Le Mer Frappe, Haiti. We talked last week about how things came about, the earthquake in 2010 and the diaspora. We talked about the living conditions and so forth. But we talked last week with a positive outlook that we had planted a school there in a place that is oftentimes called hopeless. We're providing hope, and it's so connected. And that's the most fascinating thing about today is in spite of the developments, there's so much communication. So there are cell phones, there are recharging stations, there is internet, and there's so many contacts with people across the United States, not just through these two mission projects, but across the island of Haiti. So as bleak as it may seem, they have contacts to people who love and care and provide. And in the coming weeks and months, I will certainly be coming on and talking about how to support the Mayor Frappe project and how to sponsor children in the school, how to address some of the needs of the church, and just what you can do to become a part of this great project. And maybe you even want to go on some mission trips and provide some labor and some supplies. We certainly would encourage that as well, men or women. Last evening, I heard, we know that a couple of years ago, there was an assassination of the president of Haiti, and things have spiraled out of order from that time. But even before that, things were not well in Haiti. And even before that, things were not well in Haiti. And before the earthquake, things were not well in Haiti. There's been basically a corrupt government from the day one, from 1804. As hard as they may have tried, whatever models they've tried to put in, it always seems whatever could go wrong seemed to go wrong in the government. And so there was a lack of faith across the land, has been, still is, of the people in the government. And then the president that was in power 2 years ago, his time was up and kind of extended so that he could, I guess, work on the projects he was trying to finish. And that didn't go so well, and there were nationwide protests and so forth, and gangs were developing across Haiti. It had been for some time, and gangs were, and they had crude instruments and tools that they used, lots of intimidation and so forth. And then we jump to today, where gangs have AK-47s and heavy artillery. And police in the last year have shown up for raids on some gang members, only to find that the guns that the gangsters have are way more than what the police have. And then gangs are all across the most of the Haiti is rural, and they've one major city, and that's the capital city of Port-au-Prince. A large portion of the population actually lives in Port-au-Prince, and gangs are just running wild and fighting each other in the downtown area in front of people, in front of children. People are running for their lives. No one feels safe. It's those that have to do business, those that have to be consumers in Port-au-Prince, it's a daily struggle. You don't know if you're going to make it out of it alive. It's really bad. And then that was an article that someone sent me earlier today. Can it get any more hopeless in Haiti? And then they say, well, yes, it can, because A, B, and C can still happen. So the country is really under gang rule. They have an interim president who seems to be powerless. People are still calling him corrupt. In the last 7 days, what we've seen internationally in stories coming out of Haiti is this president, Ariel Henry, it's his name, has been requesting help from anybody that can help Haiti, just anybody. And obviously, he's facing the United States from wherever he is and saying, please help us. We have chaos. We have disorder. The police have no control. Of course, they don't have a military or anything like that. The police are the policing agent. And the police are also have a history of being rather corrupt and being bought off and sold off and so forth. So he's saying he's just begging. He's going on the air and he's begging other nations, nearby nations, and people are running across the country. Haiti shares the island with the Dominican Republic. It's hard to believe that they're neighbors like they are. The Dominican Republic, the primary language is Spanish. In Haiti, it's Creole or French. And the Dominican Republic basically has a wall to separate the two countries. The Dominican Republic is nowhere near in the dire straits that Haiti's in. They have a thriving commerce system, a reasonable government. They do a lot of exporting. And, of course, we know a lot of baseball players come out of Dominican Republic. So they have some systems in place there. And many of the unskilled workers from Haiti and domestic workers and so forth actually go to the Dominican Republic by day to work and return back to Haiti at night. Many of them attempted to breach the wall and do whatever they can to get into the Dominican Republic for safety. That's a problem at that end of the country. It's just chaos all across the place. Gangs are setting up roadblocks, piracy, if you will. The Bible says in the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, much of the highway system is like the shadow of death. You don't know if you're going to be attacked. It's just chaos. Children are starving. Adults are starving. Hospitals are closing. Last week at one point, there was only one hospital open in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Only one hospital open, and that wasn't totally open. It was running off partial staff and power. Much of the power downtown is now generators, and that's based on diesel fuel and so forth. And one of the gangs, or actually a system of gangs, and this is probably the most recent development this year, is that gangs have begun to unite and form alliances to fight against each other, but also the alliances run segments of the country. And one of these alliances has taken over the fuel import center, the seaport, and only allow petroleum out as they see fit. So gas companies don't have any gas, and no food on the shelves in many of the stores, and, of course, a lack of safety when you go out. I've heard people talking about trying to send Western Unions, send money, wire money to people in Haiti, only to have them be robbed when they get the money. And so it's a real head scratcher for the person who wants to jump in there and do the work of a missionary. So it's really bleak tonight. Last week it was all upbeat, and the idea was that everybody would want to join this mission and see what can I do. And so tonight it's still what can I do, but we're showing another side of it. And I just believe Romans 8:28, that all things work together to good those that love the Lord and are the called according to his word. So I believe that all things will work out. But poverty in Haiti, like you've never heard, like never seen, never imagined, and living off $1 a day or something like that, and unemployment at times reaching 80% of the population, and just horrible numbers. Haiti's been an independent nation since 1804, and have distinctly held the honor or the dishonor of being the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere every year since 1804. And they get some help from the outside and certainly much from the United States, but there is no organized international plan to help Haiti get back on their feet as a nation. There are people that feed people. We have a school in an area of about 10,000 people in Lemire Frappe, and we have a thriving church there. But there are dots of these all over the country, and much of funded by the United States and other nations, individuals who are sponsoring things. But there is no international effort to get them back on their feet. There have been interventions in the past. Some showed some success, and then the minute they were set to go on their own, things fell apart. Some have come in to rape Haiti of the resources that it has, and it no longer has any great, they have a great coffee and two or three other imports that are thriving. But by and large, the nation is the most deforested nation in the world, meaning it has few trees. Much of the island is just hard rock. There's no trees. And one of the most beautiful islands you could imagine, the view of the sea, the view of the Caribbean and the surrounding sea, it's just beautiful. The mountains are beautiful. Even the barren mountains are beautiful. Haiti is a beautiful country. The climate is great. The growing seasons are great, but it's hard rock. And the inhabitants there were born into this, did nothing to deserve it. And it's a near neighbor to the United States. So I live in Virginia, which is the center of the East Coast of the United States. And Haiti's closer to me than many states in the United States. It's in the same time zone that we're in. They're not that far away. It's a beautiful tropical climate. And again, we are sorry that all this has happened. I'm going to read excerpts of an article that kind of speaks to, actually before I read this, one of the officials in our school, the Lemire Frappe School, this morning I received this. He sent the following messages. And the person who received the message basically said, my heart really aches for them this morning because we who know the people in the school and within the compound, we know them. They're friends, people we love, and I said we're kind of close to them. We're not that far away from them, but it's nothing we can do right now. At 6:30 a.m., he wrote, good morning, everyone. No sleep, eyes open, watching over the family. Still in the church, hate these experiences. And then at about 2 hours later, he says, the shooting starts right now. And then that was it. On last evening, it appears, and no one at the time understood what was happening, about 150 gang members moved into the Lemire Frappe subdivision, if you will, and our school is walled in. Praise the Lord. I said last week that they got that wall finished. It's a tall wall, and it's protected, someone operating the gate, and we're really proud of that because there are pirates and there are gangsters out there. But about 150 gangsters came into the community and just started shooting guns, just shooting. And people ran for cover. Many ran up the mountain and for safety. And many beat on the door and were allowed to come into the school compound and seek safety there. And they actually went in school and took refuge there. And that's what he's talking about. Again, he's an official in school. They hear the shooting. They don't know if people are being shot. They don't know what the shooting is all about. They know that all of a sudden gang members just started showing up. That's not unusual 35, 40 minutes away in Port-au-Prince because that's every day. The gangs are shooting at each other, trying to take control of certain areas of the city and so forth. But this is out on the country, on the mountainside in the rural area, and this is taking place. And so no one on last evening, nobody had any idea what was going on. We got a correspondence. I received a copy of it midday today, and the superintendent of the school said he had actually talked with some of the gang members, and the shooting had stopped, and they
they said that people didn't need to run, and they didn't need to run up the mountain. They could go back. And essentially this gang, these 150, were saying that their gang members scattered all over the mountainside. We came to flush them out. And he's saying that you all don't have anything to worry about. We're not here to shoot you. We're not here to take what you have. We're here to flush them out. Well, I have a problem with that. Just from what I'm reading, I'm looking at this, and dynamically I see the territorial struggle has come to Lemera Frappe. So, yes, I hear what you're saying, because who says that, hey, I'm a gangster, I'm out to kill people and hurt people and take that with that stuff? Nobody says that. But I'm a good gangster, and I'm here to flush out the bad guys. And the bad guys are taking refuge in your community, and I'm not sure if we even knew that there were people scattered about the community that were taking refuge, and they're gangsters also. And so now this gang is saying, we're a good gang, and we're not going to hurt you, harm you. We're actually here to protect you. Well, it sure didn't sound like it last night when everybody was terrified and running for their lives and hitting the deck and hiding underneath stuff. And now you tell us you're here to protect us. That's really troubling, too. Who do we believe? So the shooting stopped for a while, and then later in the afternoon I heard that shooting had returned. And so things are just out of control. Chaotic, chaos. Don't know who to believe. Don't know where to turn, but we do know where to turn. It's the beauty of Hope United Haiti. That's the beauty of 10,000 Reasons Haiti, is that the first thing they did was establish a church. And then I mentioned last week that the church has a senior pastor, has assistants and associates, and is serious about education, training, seminary. Because that is the center of the community. The Lemera Frappe Church is the center of the Lemera Frappe community. So the one thing they have, the one thing we have, is an ever-present God who sees all and who knows all. We serve an omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient God. He knows all. He's everywhere. And he knows what's going on in Haiti. And so it is a matter of us corralling our energy and our faith, and the folk in Lemera Frappe corralling their energy and their faith and trusting this Lord, this God. And this is something for us to teach about in the coming months, even on this broadcast, probably on Wednesday night. I heard someone say today that a prominent U.S. evangelist, prominent in the sense of a megachurch and prosperity gospel, that said it is impossible for you to have an anointing of God if you're poor. It is, that's why we are on the air. We're on the air because obviously this person has not been to Haiti and not been to church in Haiti. If you want to see some fire and Holy Ghost, go to the Lemera Frappe Church and tell me that there's no faith and tell me that there's no power. And yes, they're poor in economic status, but my goodness, full of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God gets to operate and do mighty things, and miracles are seen and so forth. It's still a poor country. That takes time to change, but the Spirit of God is alive and well there. We do all we can to keep up with that Spirit. And so we have a God that we can trust and serve in Haiti or here. On tonight, I want to corral those that energy. And mix that energy with what we know about Jesus, what we know about the Holy Ghost, and make a difference. And so I taught and preached. There's a prayer. I call it the 1819 prayer. And I don't say this to brag. It's probably what it sounds like. I don't say this to brag. It's rare that I've done that 1819 prayer with groups, and it was not answered. In fact, I can't even think of a time it was not answered. We did one today for one of our brothers that's going through something and some medical issues. Typically when I lead a prayer, I'm involved in a prayer like that, and it's specific, I don't even ask the next day what happened. Because I know before we get off our knees, before we finish praying, we know. the problem with that prayer, and you'll see that there are some problems with the prayer, is specificity. That's really the problem with that prayer. So we're going to pray that prayer tonight believing. Jesus said that when you pray, believe that it is done. So we're going to pray that prayer believing that it's done and then act like it's done from there on out. So now to go to an article on coming out of Haiti also earlier today. No, actually, this article is a few days old. Let's see, where can I pick this up? So obviously I'm not going to read on the radio all of this. I'll start in the middle of the article. It says, the armed men arrived at the two-story factory in Haiti's rural Artibonite Valley, wielding AK-47s, followed by a hungry mob of hundreds. After scaring off the two security guards, they forced their way in and put a knife to the throat of a Catholic nun, who until that moment had helped to run the solar-powered sewing factory and had been feeding nearly 1,000 hungry school children a day through her school. Now, this is not our school. This is near Port-au-Prince, not in the city of Port-au-Prince. But a factory, actually a government factory, had been raided by a gang. Barking orders, the armed men demanded the keys to the upstairs where the solar panels, valued at over $400,000, were installed on the roof. They were there for the solar panels. Over the next hour or so, they ripped out the panels, grabbed the 10 large batteries along with the inverters, the doors, and electronic computer-driven clock, anything else of value before letting the crowd in to pillage the rest, button-making and sewing machines, tables, and the food pantry. It was a sewing factory. They raided a sewing factory because on top of the sewing factory, there was a host of solar panels. Knowing the value of those panels and knowing they could get a sale for them, the gang raided this factory. And the people, children included, knew what was happening. They understood why the gang was outside the factory, and they mobbed to the place because they knew what was going to happen, because this happens on a regular basis. They would raid the factory and get what they wanted, which amounted to tearing the panels off the roof and the equipment used to operate the solar panels, because they had a sale for them. And the kids and the people in the street knew once they've done that, the place is open for pillaging and looting. So the guy says, my first reaction was hungry people are going to take a lot of food. And I thought they were going to get the pantry. The owner of the factory that was attacked last month, he said these things about this. He was attacked in a rural hamlet in the city of Gneiss. He said, I didn't think it was mob driven. The mob was following the gangsters. He soon learned of more attacks and looting in Haiti's rice-growing valley just north of Port-au-Prince. More than a dozen government and parochial schools, markets, and a United Nations World Food Program warehouse, another Catholic Church-affiliated entity. In a country where millions are already on the verge of starvation, the looting and pillaging of food warehouses belonging to the Haitian government, the United Nations, charity groups, supermarkets, schools, and businesses during the recent and often violent anti-government protests risk plunging Haiti into deeper despair. This is what's going on a daily basis, is their gangs are leading organized attacks on, they're just simply tearing down the city because everything's for sale once you tear it up. For Haiti, where 45% of the population was already nearing starvation in March, 6 months ago. The looting is exacerbating the deepening hunger crisis. Food warehouses are empty. Supermarket shelves are bare. And since September 12, no containers have been unloaded at the seaports, leading shippers to temporarily pause all delivery of cargo, including food. The gangs have shut the seaports down. They now operate at the guidance of the gangs. With a powerful gang alliance known as the G9 tightening its grip by barricading roads to the seaport and the capital's main fuel terminal, Varo, gasoline stations are empty, generators inoperable, and hospitals and businesses are closed. Effects are being felt everywhere. Just east of Port-au-Prince, through the territories of two violent gangs, a malnutrition center is reporting difficulty finding food to feed 1,000 kids daily and provide clean water. Children are now dying at an increasing rate, said Mickey West, a missionary with Butt God Ministries in the Gathier community. We can't get food for our schools, and people in the village are starving because they have no access to clean water or food. From Jacmel in the south to Port-au-Prince in the far northwest, basic commodities are becoming increasingly hard to find or afford when available. And you can't even find potable water to drink, said Honoree Joan, 42, a teacher caring for two teenage nieces in the city of Gonai. Day by day, the population is becoming worse off. So it does sound pretty bad. This describes a few things that this writer has seen. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. We welcome you to the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. This is a special broadcast on this Monday evening as we focus on a mission to Lemaire Frappe, Haiti. I am Gernard Reed, the host of the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. But then we also, in tandem with Apostle Margie Mercer and the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. And we're actually going to expand and go into the full hour on this evening, whereas we usually go out at 7:30. So we welcome you to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast and the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast this evening. And we've given Apostle Margie Mercer the day off, as she earned on Saturday a beautiful award from the state of Maryland. And she was honored on she's honored by the Dr. Pat radio show of WBOC. So we greet you. Our contact information is goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. Again, it's goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. Our phone number is 804-313-7853. Tonight we're talking about a village called Lemaire Frappe, in Haiti, the island nation of Haiti, that has come under attack by gang. And then I try to set the stage that this is nothing new in the last few years. Gangs have been going across Haiti into villages where nothing like this had ever happened before, and kidnapping anybody, just taking a person and kidnapping them, and then saying to their families, if you want to see them again, we need $1,000. Now, $1,000 in Haiti goes a long way. That's a lot of money. In fact, $1,000 where I'm sitting right now goes a long way, but it goes far more in Haiti. And so they will kidnap a family member, anybody. It doesn't have to be somebody famous, or the person doesn't even have to be employed. They will kidnap that person and say, hey, get us $1,000. Sometimes the family gets something together. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes the loved one comes back, and sometimes they don't. They are seen by the gangs as expendable. And so we heard a story a year ago of an Ohio mission that had gone to Haiti, had been there for years, and 17 people in that mission were kidnapped. Now, this is unusual. This is unusual because foreigners may be threatened and so forth, but they're not usually attacked or kidnapped. So this was a bold move by that particular gang, and they wanted to make a statement, and they shouted into the TV cameras, and they wanted it to go back to the United States. And they knew this group was out of Ohio in the Midwest of the United States, and they knew this group has a large budget for missions, and they asked $1 million for each person. And many of us know the story is that they actually escaped or were released, and they were able to go back to the United States unharmed, all 17. And even more good news to that is that wicked gangster, the gang leader, is in Ohio to stand trial for the abductions of 17 people. And I don't think that's going to go very well for him. But I think the message there is don't mess with the United States, because he was actually shouting at the whole country. Had probably never been here before. But that's one isolated circumstance. How many kidnapped? At the time of that kidnapping, the government had estimated that there were over 850 other kidnappings that they knew of. And many of these kidnappings, like I said, just family members and so forth, that never even gets reported. So that's a business in Haiti. It just worked out well for that particular mission, and we thank God for that, but it does not work that well for everybody. So Haiti's a bad place, terrible place, but guess what? They survived the pandemic, COVID-19, you would think that with the poverty, with the people living on top of people in Port-au-Prince, and with the lack of medical care and facilities, that if COVID-19 had hit that nation, it would have destroyed them. They were on the P's and Q's. Of course, they were last to get the vaccines and so forth, but they were on the P's and Q's, and it did seem to pass them over. There are still some cases across the nation, very much like it is everywhere else, but basically the pandemic has gone by with them. But they still need to be vigilant in fighting against that. We praise God for that. But now a cholera outbreak has taken place. Cholera usually comes when there's poor drinking water. And there really is no reason why there shouldn't be good drinking water in Haiti. It's just that they don't have an organized system, and their utilities are not commendable in Haiti. Much of the nation has no electricity. Much of the nation has no running water or access to it. Even in Lemaire Frappe, there's no electric grid there. There is no water system out there. We are blessed that the mission was able to bring in some folk and drill a community well, if you will. Also, to drill the school has a well and a water purification system, and so our kids in school get fresh drinking water, and people from the surrounding area can come down in the afternoon with water jugs and fill their jugs with fresh water, clean water. But that's a drop in the bucket. Pun intended. That's a drop in the bucket, because all across Haiti there's all kinds of problems, and now there's a cholera outbreak. That's the last thing that they would need, but guess what? That's what they are dealing with at this moment. So, a lot going bad. A lot going bad in Haiti. I turn to the scriptures, and I go to the book of St. Matthew, the 18th chapter, and St. Matthew, I call it the church chapter, and it's what this Jeremiah speaks ministry is built upon, is the authority of the church. It's good reading. It's easy reading. It's good reading. And sometimes if you haven't read this lately, you pause and said, these promises, I forgot they were in you. I focus on the 18th chapter, and we go around the 18th verse. And this is something that also is repeated in the, well, comes from the 16th chapter. Matthew records in the 18th verse, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. This is speaking to the whole chapter, the whole 18th chapter, church chapter, speaking to the authority of the church. And he's not talking about one person here. He's talking about the church. Now, we know the church is not a building. We happen to call the building a church as well. That's fine. But the church is the called out community of believers that are connected by the blood of Jesus. The belief in Jesus, the belief in the authority of the church through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Then he left us in charge of the church. And so all believers make up the church. So he says to the church, he says this to the disciples who would become the leaders of the church. He says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Really simple. You have the authority to make decisions on behalf of the church, the God, and the Godhead. I have given you authority through the Spirit of the living and true God to call some shots down here. And so, if you say it's done, then it's done. You say it's undone, then it's undone. And then verse 19 says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are, verse 20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So these are three really powerful verses. Super powerful verses. Someone has texted me and said they need fuel to pump clean water. New fuel needs to be there. They have no clean water. No clean water leads to cholera. It's a terrible and a vicious cycle. And so You're welcome to text, ask questions, send me information. We appreciate that. Thank God for you. So this authority is given to the church, and I'm just singling out these three verses. Actually, I'm going to hold in on one verse. Verse 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name," that's the name of Jesus, the mighty name, "that at the mention of that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord." He says that when two or three are gathered in that name, my name, there I am in the midst of it. So when two or three believers in Jesus Christ, two or three Christians, if you will, come together in agreement, Jesus says, I'm right there. My spirit, the spirit of the living and true God, the Holy Spirit, if you will, is right there. And that spirit, operating in our spirits, we can command anything we command, because that spirit will only abide where the truth is. Jesus ain't nothing but the truth. So the spirit of truth is the spirit of Jesus, meaning that if I have the spirit of truth, I'm not going to ask God to do something that's against his will. It's not in me. It's not in you. If I have the spirit of truth, I'm only going to do those things that coincide with God's will, meaning he's given us the authority to call those things that are in line with his will. And then we look at verse 19 again and say, wait a minute. A lot of people pray, and a lot of people ask God for things, and a lot of people are faithful and fast for a week before they pray for things. How come they didn't get what they prayed for? This is the church chapter. I'm talking about the church chapter. The church is not one person, and no one person is the church. This is not something for your secret prayer closet at home. That's good, too. That's beautiful. The Bible says oftentimes Jesus went alone. In John, the 6th chapter, says he went alone up in the mountain to pray. It says in Luke 6:12 that Jesus went alone and prayed all night long. Yes. We're supposed to be like Jesus, have a prayer closet or find a place to get away from everything and pray. This is not that prayer. This is a prayer of intercession to be done by the church. Anything associated with the church always requires two or three people at the least. And so when we look at the scripture from that perspective, and we see Jesus say this right here, it's in red print, in the red print Bible, it shall be done of them. It shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. Well, I wish I had a witness here that could say amen, is that he says it shall be done. Emphatically saying, not that God will think about it. Not that in his own time. Any of those things we say to qualify our prayers, it says it shall be done, plain and simple. You ask for it. You request it. I provide it. In my name, I provide it. So now, what about this unanswered prayer? I don't know. I said at the beginning of the show, I was going to come across like an arrogant person. And I was going to come across like I was braggadocious because of this testimony. Taught a class last winter and really put this to the test. It's a couple of people in the class I didn't even know. At the end of that second class, we prayed this prayer for a man who had not communicated with anybody for days, and the doctors had already asked the family to make a decision to remove him from life support, and I had begged the family, let me get my class ready. I'm teaching a new class, and I want to teach this intercessory prayer. I believe, well, he's up driving around. I saw him in the supermarket the other day. This was back in March when we prayed this prayer. It was testy. I didn't know how much faith I was dealing with in the room, but that's not important because Jesus says if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. Simply, if you don't mix your faith and your doubt, you're as powerful as you need to be. So my experience is this will work. There's a prayer group that I send prayer requests to. Sometimes I pray with them. Sometimes I don't. When I send them the request, they set a time to pray all on one accord. For one thing. The problem with the one thing is it can't be general. Oh, God, save everybody. He's not going to do that. That is not that's not consistent with his word. It's not consistent with his word. So when I'm teaching the class, I talk about the child who wants a bicycle from his dad for his birthday. And he's going to go and ask for the bicycle. He needs to know what color the bicycle is. He really does. He needs his dad to know that he's looked it up. He knows what it's worth, what the value of the bicycle is. And he knows how he's going to use it, where he's going to put it and keep it. He knows as many details as he can come up with before he goes before his father. That's where we need to be. Specificity. Pray for that one thing. We came together. I think it was about eight of us, I think, about a year ago to pray for those 17 people. And we talked about it. And it was just a really sad night. It was a really sad night. Because it could have been us. And we found out that their compound, their mission, was just across the mountainside from us. I mean, we had actually driven past that, some of us. It's our neighbor. It could have happened to us. And so we were thinking that over, and we were talking about how sad that was. What could we do? I said, hey, that's prayer. Come together, find one thing. And so we kicked it around. And we had, you know, a lot of things that we wanted. And then finally somebody said, let's just pray that they be released. And let's just pray that they be released unharmed. And I kept thinking, I'm not sure if that's specific enough. But that's exactly what we prayed. We came together. It took a few minutes to come into agreement. We all came together in agreement. We prayed that, Lord, please release them. See to it that they're released. Guess what happened? Took a few weeks, but guess what happened? At first, I think three or four released, and somebody had a medical problem or something and let them go. I think there was a child and let the child go. But at the end of the day, excuse me, I shouldn't say that. I don't want to confuse that. Eventually, all 17 were released, and all 17 were well. So exactly what we asked the Lord for. Never a doubt in my mind. And I don't think we should doubt tonight. So I sent out and I asked if anybody had a specific that we wanted. And people were saying peace. Well, peace has different meanings to different people. The gangsters said they're there to bring peace. They're there shooting up in the air to bring peace. They don't want our folk to be attacked by these gangsters that have integrated themselves in the community. I don't know how much truth is in that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if anybody in the school knows how much truth is in that story. So to be more specific, we want the peaceful operation of our school and our church. We want the bad guys to leave us alone, don't we? We really do. We are aware that there's some bad things going on across the countryside. We're also aware that some wonderful things going on in our school and our church. And we want our school and our church to be left alone. Now, if that's your definition of peace, that's great, but that's really what we want. Well, guess what? We that believe in Jesus Christ have the power and authority to declare that, to go to the Father and ask for that, and to believe that it will be done, that before we even finish the prayer, we believe it to be done. And then what does he require of us? If we believe it to be done, we have to act like it's done. We can't go back tomorrow and pray about the same thing. We can meditate on it, we can act on it, but we can't go back and beg again for something that he's already blessed today. That's one thing. And then when we talk to the Lord tonight, tomorrow, we need to talk with him in a spirit of confidence and overcoming and thankfulness. We are thanking him for answering our prayer. It's hard to do, it's hard to convert to that. We had a group, and we were teaching on this, and we asked, well, what are your concerns? Well, everybody had a concern. Everybody had somebody that was sick or struggling. And then it's hard for me to hear you say you're not going to pray for my person today, but you're going to pray for Joe over there. It's hard for me to swallow and say, yeah, I want to pray for Joe just like you do. But that's what it takes. God is calling the church not to be a respecter of persons, not to be selfish, bringing in our own ideas and only going to act if we get my own ideas. No, he's calling us not to act like the world, but to act like him. And we never see Jesus talking about, not that often, about his mother praying for his mother, praying for his brothers and his sisters. We don't see those things out of Jesus. We don't see Jesus celebrating his birthday or doing many of the things that we find commonplace. We see Jesus concerned about strangers, woman with an issue of blood, woman who couldn't stand up straight, lepers whom he was told, now just stay away from them. Just if you do anything, just keep them at a distance. Eating in a Pharisee's house. We see Jesus transcending the rules of the time and to share that he loved folks. Man had a withered hand. He touched the man. Everybody was staying away from the man. Nobody wanted to touch that man. Yeah, we love you. We'll give you something to eat. We'll pray for you. But we're not going to touch you. Jesus would lay hands on him. Jesus lay hands on a leper. So we're called to be like Jesus. Not a respecter of persons, but a love for anybody that claims Jesus as a Savior, and some kind of a love for anybody that doesn't know him for themselves. So tonight I put that before you. I gave some bleak story about the Mayor Frappe. Last week I talked about the positives. This week I talk about the things that are not so positive. And I say how bad it is, how hopeless it looks. It is in circumstances like that where God does the best work. It is in circumstances like that that we even say it had to be a miracle. There's no other way it could have happened. It's in circumstances like that that our faith gets to shine. And so tonight we're up against it. We have a church and a school inside of a wall compound that is about to be breached by 150 or more gangsters who mean ill will to somebody. I do want to say this about the gang. This is not the only country in the world that has gangs. And we have a smidgen of that here in the United States, operating kind of in a different spirit, if you will. But everybody didn't think the gangs are bad. These gangs will steal rice and go feed the children. They will break into this factory and allow all these kids to run in there and loot it. And they see the gangs as heroes. If you're starving and somebody opens the refrigerator up and says, eat all you want, it's hard to condemn and curse at that person. And so the gangsters, oftentimes, the guy that was demanding the $17 million, he was going to spend some of it, on the local people, that they would eat well, that they would have clothes and stuff. So everybody doesn't see these gangsters as the bad guys. The gangsters do not see themselves as the bad guys. They're the good gangsters, you know, like the Good Witch of the North and the Good Witch of the East. They see themselves as being the good guys, and they've come to restore order to a place with no government. So let's not delude ourselves. They don't think they're the bad guys. They think the other guys that are allegedly hiding out. There's another theory that they're there for another commercial reason, if you will. We don't know why they're there. We know some things that have been said, but we don't know. But don't let that fog our prayer up. We know that we don't want them in the compound, because when you go inside our school, you see kids learning. You see kids smiling and kids with pretty teeth, and they wear uniforms and they're friendly. They know how to communicate. We now have English classes as well as classes in Creole, and the kids are learning and they're growing. And now we have the ninth grade class. Well, now we have high school kids. And now we have kids that are talking about, maybe I can get a scholarship to a school in the United States and continue my education, and maybe I can bring something back home to help my family here in Haiti. And we have bright kids that are happy, that hit the books, love to read. We have children who have glasses now. We have children with great medical care because there's a clinic on the campus and a doctor that comes once a week. The school that I live near right here, the doctor doesn't come there once a week. And we've even had, on occasion, the dental care and the treatment. So we're really good with kids taking vitamins to adjust their diet to what their food intake is. We have great meals at the school, great meals at the church. And so we have a lot of things going on. We don't want gangsters to come in and spoil that. That's the bottom line. We want to protect what we've been doing since 2017. And even greater than that, now I go places and people say to me, how do I sign up to go to Haiti? Not knowing what they're getting into, but they like what they're hearing coming out of Haiti. We have Teresa and Hutt and several other volunteers. I'm not a part of this, but I run into them on occasion. They go to the festivals. They sacrifice their time on Saturday mornings or Friday nights, and they go to the festivals and they sell metal that they bought in Haiti and they sell it here. A lot of people have houses full of this metal. They just love it because that's their way of supporting a mission. for people that they may never meet face-to-face. We have so many sponsors. Every child in the school that's sponsored is sponsored by somebody in the United States. So we have all these sponsorships, and they give you correspondence and information about the child that you're sponsoring, and this child gets to hear about you and maybe even contact you. And so all this good stuff is going on. We don't want the gangsters to mess it up. It's that simple. That's really what we're praying. It's Lord, Nehemiah said, I'm up on the building. I'm doing a mighty good work. I don't have time to come down and talk to you about resolving your issues that you have with me. No, I'm on the building already. We're doing a mighty work. Lord, please allow us to continue our work. That's what we're praying for tonight. And so I've given the scriptures where God guarantees it to us. So I say to you now, if you don't like the things I said, if you disagree with the way I pray, if you don't believe in this intercessory prayer, we thank you for listening to the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast now, and you can hang up. You can turn us off. But for anybody that wants to make a difference with your faith, remembering that Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, meaning really tiny faith, even if you have that, you can move mountains, then stay on. Bear with us and pray with us. And we're going to make a difference. We're going to ask God to make this difference. And God has already said to us, you're the church. You call the shots. You tell us what to do. Trials come. And we pray our way through it. That's why we have Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father waiting for us to plead our case. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. And so without any further ado, I want to ask if everybody everywhere that now has not hung up, but that believes in this mission, we're going to come together and pray. And then, I hope this is an impetus for somebody else to start an intercessory prayer and do the same thing with other things in your life. And it does not have to be somebody that's sick. It doesn't have to be anything negative. It could be praying with a group to get a new job, praying with a group to take the SAT. It could be any number of things. So join us, if you will, all-wise, eternal God, and our righteous King. Lord, we praise and magnify your name. We thank you for sending us your son, Jesus, that would die on the cross for our sins, but not just die, but to rise again with all power and authority. We thank you for Jesus that has established the church on the rock, that even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We thank you for Jesus that gave us a perfect example of holy and righteous living. We thank you for Jesus, the way who would send the Holy Spirit, our comforter, keeper, and guide. And so, Lord, now we come in the name of Jesus, in the spirit of Jesus, requesting, believing, and standing on your word. We trust your word. It says, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Lord, you're looking out now. You can see what I cannot see. You can see that there are more than two and more than three, and that all of us want the same thing. We want our school in safety and peace. We want to be able to do the work that you sent us there to do. We want the safety of our children. I want the safety of the staff, the safety of all of the employees. Lord, we come this evening believing it to be done because you are our way maker and our heart fixer and our mind regulator. Lord, we pray now for the protection of every child, of every worker, of every teacher, every staff member, of everybody in the compound, and even the connections throughout the Lemire Frappe village. We pray against the gangsters that they be turned to go elsewhere. Pray that you will run them away. Pray that you'll run them away, turn them away, that they'll find so much Holy Spirit there and so much protection there that they will turn and leave that compound and go somewhere else. Father, we pray for the safety of our people. We pray that you will deliver them as you have so many times before. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. We thank you in the mighty, majestic, and the perfect and everlasting name of Jesus. Amen. This has been the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast, as well as the Fivefold Ministry broadcast in tandem tonight, one big show. We will be back on tomorrow evening at our regular time slot at 7 o'clock, and of course, as always, on Sunday mornings at 8:30. The Jeremiah Speaks is 8:30 on Sunday mornings, Fivefold Ministry is 9 o'clock. Monday through Friday, Jeremiah Speaks is 7 o'clock, and Fivefold Ministry is 7:30. Certainly, you've been a great and a captive audience. You've given us great information. Keep Haiti on your mind and pray for those other things about the compound during the coming days. Thank you. Have a great evening. May God bless each of you.